Well, I didn't expect to see you again, and when I did, I thought for sure you would mention Club Bailar. I don't want my colleagues to think I'm some kind of harlot, so thank you for not saying anything.
You're not a harlot, he states fervently. I didn't expect things to escalate the way they did. I'm sorry if you regret that night, but I don't want you to be ashamed. That was the hottest thing that has ever happened to me.
Remembering how things escalated makes my nipples hard and butterflies swarm my stomach. His gaze flicks down to my chest, noticing my body's reaction, and heat flares in his eyes. Shit. I pull my lab coat over my chest to cover myself up and clear my throat. My face feels like it's on fire. He blinks, then lust-filled eyes meet mine. His gaze is powerful, and I get a little lost in those blue eyes. The atmosphere in the room changes, and I feel the chemistry spark between us. He starts to lean closer to me, and my body wants to sway closer to him. Footsteps sound in the hall, and Kevin appears with two cold packs. I let out a breath I hadn't realized I was holding.
"Here you go, you guys,"
he says, handing one to me and the other to Max. "Dr. Morgan, are you okay? You look flushed."
"I'm fine, Kevin."
"Breathe, Monica. Just breathe." I take the cold pack and put it on the back of my neck instead of my forehead, hoping that will cool me down. Kevin doesn't look convinced. "It's pretty quiet right now. Why don't you and Max take a break? I'll let you know when we get a patient." He leaves and I meet Max's eyes again.
"Want to go get a cup of coffee?"
he asks, standing up in front of me.
"Coffee?
Or cold water," he suggests, eyeing the cold pack on my neck.
"Let's give this fresh start a whirl. What do you say?"
Okay. He reaches out his hand to offer a handshake.
"Hi, I'm Max Spencer, male nurse."
He gives me a wide grin. I laugh and shake his hand.
"Hi there. I'm Monica Morgan, female doctor. Nice to meet you."
"Monica," he repeats, his mouth testing out my name. I like the sound of my name on his lips.
"Max, I think I have misjudged everything. From the way she acted so jumpy and nervous around me, I thought she wasn't interested in me at all. But she was just afraid of me making her out to be a slut at work. Understandable, I would never do that, but she doesn't know me. What's more, I think she is interested in me. At the very minimum, she's still attracted to me. The way she was looking at me just moments ago, with dilated pupils, flushed cheeks, hardened nipples, and pulse thrumming in her throat, was proof of that. If Kevin hadn't walked in with those ice packs when he did, I may have mauled her on that exam table despite my recent promise not to. What did I just ask her? Coffee. Fresh start. Friendship. Right. I can do this." We walk side by side to the staff cafeteria. After paying for two bottles of water, we sit at a table by the window. "So," I smile over at her. "So." She smiles back and it transforms her face, making her look younger. "You're a doctor," I observe. "You're a nurse," she states. "Everyone always asks me why I wanted to be a nurse instead of a doctor. I know she's curious, but she doesn't ask me. How long have you worked here?" "Let's see, I went to the medical school associated with the hospital, so I did my clinical rotations here, though not all of them were in the ER. Then I stayed on for my residency. When it was time to do my fellowship, I was lucky enough to snag an opening in the ER, and that fellowship turned into a staff position. I'm one of the rare doctors that have stayed in the same hospital since I was a baby doctor," she tells me. "And now you're the director of the department? Doesn't that take years of experience to qualify for? You look so young." "I almost didn't apply for the position because I never thought they would hire me so soon after my fellowship. I hadn't even been staff for a year yet, But I've been dedicated to this hospital from the start of my career, and I guess they liked my visions for the department. She shrugs, downplaying her achievements. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, sometimes it isn't all it's cracked up to be. Be careful what you wish for. You just might get it, she admits, biting her lip.
You don't like being the director? I ask.
It's just a really big job. Everyone is always challenging my decisions because I'm the youngest director the ER has ever had. Not to mention the fact that I'm 5 foot nothing and all the other staff tower over me.
She sighs and looks exhausted all of a sudden. Well, I'm impressed, and your parents must be so proud of you. This does not cheer her up like I thought it would.
What about you? She deflects. You seem older than most of the new grads from nursing school.
I had to work part-time while attending school, so it took me twice as long to finish. But I finished, and that's what counts.
You're doing a really great job, Max. The department is lucky to have you.
Thank you. Why am I so disappointed, she said, the department is lucky to have me? I finish my water and check the time. Should we head back? She agrees and falls into step next to me. I feel the warmth of her arm as it brushes against mine, and my fingers itch to slip into hers. Is your head okay? I ask her.
It's fine, honestly, she insists. How about yours?
I don't know. I nudge her shoulder. I might need a doctor to look me over, I tease, giving her my most charming smile. She casts a sideways look at me and smiles.
Dr. Rossetti is probably free.
She laughs at my fallen expression, and the sound warms my insides. Making her laugh may have just become my favorite pastime.
Chapter 4. Piece of Cake. Monica.
Dr. Morgan, I need your help in room 3. Max says into my ear. I follow him into the room to discover it's empty. I turn around to ask him what he needs and find him standing so close, the curtain drawn on the entrance to the room. As I meet his gaze, he reaches for my waist, pulling me flush against him. I need you, he says quietly before lowering his mouth to mine. The kiss is frenzied, both of us finally giving in to the pent-up sexual chemistry between us. His hands lower to my ass, and he grabs me hard, his grip strong. I melt into him, whimpering. His hands feel so good on me. Shh, you need to be quiet. He nods to the curtain separating us from the rest of the staff. Don't stop. I'll be quiet. I beg. I need to taste you. Oh, God. He bends me over the exam table and pulls my scrub pants and underwear midway down my thighs. I spread my legs as far as my pants will allow, and he pulls my cheeks apart. His frantic touch makes me yearn to feel his tongue on my skin, and my pussy is dripping wet with desire. He's crouched down behind me, so close I can feel his breath on my sex, but he isn't doing anything. Please? You have the prettiest pussy. This makes me flush with embarrassment. No one has ever looked at me from this angle, let alone talked about my pussy. Then I feel his tongue, wet and warm, giving me long swipes from my clit all the way up to my asshole. I clench, not used to anyone looking there. Stay still, he commands. Relax, and let me make you feel good. I stop resisting and let him lick me. It does feel good. Dirty. Desperate. My hands find purchase on the end of the exam bed, and I push myself back into his face, searching for more friction. He latches onto my clit, sucking and pulling. Fuck, I am a trembling, wanton mess of desire. Then I feel his fingers, one on my pussy, one on my asshole. Oh, God. He continues to work my clit with his tongue while his fingers rub my most intimate places. Yes, I moan, feeling my orgasm approach. Shh, he reminds me again. At this point, I don't care who hears me.
I'm desperate to come. One more flick of his tongue against my clit, and I do just that. My core clenching, my eyes squeezing shut. Oh, God. I relax onto the bed, shudders continuing to escape me as he licks me down from my orgasm. He stands behind me and I hear a rustle of clothing. Then I feel his cock between my ass cheeks, rubbing along my crease. The sound of his shaft moving through my wetness is audible, and all of a sudden I'm no longer sated. I need his cock inside me. He seems to read my mind because he pushes into me from behind, folding his upper body over me, covering me. I moan loudly as I get used to his size stretching me full. His hands find my hands, holding them down on the table, and his face rests next to mine. This is going to be fast, he warns me. Please. I only seem to be capable of begging. Then he starts to move with hard, fast pumps all the way in, then almost all the way out. His cock drags against all the sensitive areas in my pussy. It's so wet from his tongue and my desire that he is slick, sliding in and out without trouble. The wet sounds of us fucking are so obscene, but they ratchet up my arousal. I push back into him, meeting his thrusts, loving the feel of him inside me. His breath stutters next to my ear, and I can tell he's close. I want him to come, to feel him lose control. Sensation overwhelms me, and I feel another orgasm start to build. You like me fucking you? He asks. I nod frantically. You want me to come inside you? Yes, please. He reaches a finger down in between my legs and begins to rub my clit as he pounds into me. And that's all it takes to push me over the edge. I'm coming so hard, my sex clenches around his cock, and I feel him start to pulse inside me. God, yes. I wake suddenly from my erotic dream, slick with sweat. My heart is beating frantically, and my clit is throbbing in time with my pulse. That dream felt so real, I can almost still feel Max inside me. The clock reads 2:57 a.m., and I groan. It's too early to wake up. I try to slow my breaths, but my body is too revved up. I need to come. I shift in bed, throwing off the comforter. The cool air feels good and my nipples pebble. I lift my nightgown up and pinch and pull at them, imagining Max's fingers there. His touch would be firm and sure. This feels good, but my clit needs real relief. I drag my underwear down and kick them aside, spreading my legs wide. I touch myself. Yes, I remember Max's tongue on my pussy in my dream, and I begin to rub, collecting the wetness pooling at my entrance and spreading it up and over my clit. I close my eyes and imagine Max looking up at me from between my legs, his intense blue eyes holding my gaze as his tongue devours me. I shift my hand down, push two fingers inside, and keep my thumb on my clit, rubbing and pumping. My hips start to buck up, a response I can't even control. I pinch my nipple with my other hand as I finger myself. Yes. My orgasm takes over and I'm coming, pussy spasming around my fingers, back arching off the bed. Fuck! I lay there, panting, spent. When I'm able to move again, I go to the bathroom, wash my hands, and splash some cold water on my face. The mirror shows me my reflection. My face is flushed, my pupils dilated. My hair is messy from sleep, and my nipples are poking through the thin fabric of my nightgown. I look sexy. Who are you? I ask myself. I can't remember the last time I had such a vivid sex dream or masturbated, but being around Max lately has awoken my body. I feel like I'm in a constant state of arousal, and it's becoming difficult to stay away from him. You are his boss, I remind myself. But not his direct boss. I sigh. What does that matter? There's no loophole that would make it appropriate for me to date a nurse on my floor. Do I even want to date him, or just have sex with him? Both are off limits and may cost me my job. The bed is cool when I lay back down. I sigh and close my eyes, hoping to get a couple more hours of sleep. I have to go to work and see Max again. I have to act like I didn't have a dream about him fucking my brains out, then masturbate to thoughts of said dream. Piece of cake.
Max. Our fresh start talk went a long way to dispel awkwardness between Monica and me. She's been less jumpy and generally treating me just like she treats all the other nurses, but something is different today. I feel her gaze on me. She looks at me like she's hungry, and it's making me hungry, too. My skin feels too tight, my clothes too constrictive. I steer my thoughts away from Monica so I can pay attention to Kevin. Can you repeat that? We have to do quality checks on the supplies in this cabinet weekly to make sure nothing is expired. He points to the cabinet above the counter. Can you take down all the supplies and review the date they were opened? I'll be right back. Sure. I reach up and start pulling everything off the shelf, systematically finding the item, reviewing the date marked on each container, and initialing the corresponding line on the checklist. I hear Monica's voice just on the other side of the counter, and my body becomes aware of her proximity. The urge to get closer is hard to ignore, but I need to finish what I'm doing. I reach way up, straining to get the last bottle all the way in the back of the cabinet. The cool air tickles my lower belly as my shirt rides up, exposing my skin. And then I feel it. I feel her gaze on me, and it makes me hot. Once I reach the bottle, I set it on the counter and see her across from me, her eyes lingering on my stomach. She notices I've stopped moving, meets my eyes, and her cheeks turn the prettiest shade of pink. I smile slowly, enjoying the fact that she is checking me out. Hey, Dr. Morgan, I chirp. How's your day going? She swallows. It's okay. How are you, Max? I'm good. Feeling a bit hungry, though, I tell her meaningfully. She rubs her stomach, not catching my double entendre. I'm starving, too. I never seem to be able to stop for lunch. You need to take time to feed yourself, I say seriously. I know, but tell that to the patients. We seem to be on a never-ending loop today. She blows her hair out of her face. I'm done here. Need any help? I offer. No, that's okay. Thank you, though. Well, just let me know if you need me. I wink and can't resist the urge to step into her personal space and inhale as I walk behind her to go find Kevin. I hear her breath stutter as I move close. I go on my lunch break, scarf down a sandwich, and buy an extra one. Monica's office is on the way back from the cafeteria to the ER, so I stop by on my way. Her door is ajar, and I knock softly, peeking through the crack. She's on the phone, but motions me in, so I hold up the sandwich and place it on her desk. She looks up, surprised, but the voice on the other end of the line steals her attention. I give her a wink and leave, not wanting to interrupt her phone call.
Monica. It's a slow Tuesday afternoon in the ER, so I'm catching up on my charts. Max is behind me at the nurse's station, an area with computers and monitors for all of the patient rooms where the nurses sit to chart and keep an eye on things. He's working with Julie tonight, and they have been talking about relationships. How do I know this? I've been eavesdropping, of course. My body is just tuned into where he is, and my ears just pick up what he's saying. His voice is smooth and deep. How old are you anyway? I hear Julie ask. Good question. I'm 25, he answers. 7 years younger than me? Way too young for me. I start typing again, reprimanding myself for even caring what the age difference between us is. Is this your first nursing job, or did you work somewhere else as a new grad? Julie asks him. No, this is my first nursing job,
I just graduated and passed my boards a couple months ago. I had to work part-time and go to school part-time, so it took me longer to graduate than most. I breathe out a sigh of relief that he gave the same answer to Julie as he did to me. Honesty is important. That's impressive, Julie compliments. Do you have a girlfriend? My ears perk at this inquiry, and I can't help but want to hear the answer. I don't think he has a girlfriend, but I stop typing so I can hear better. No, with work and school, I didn't really have the time for a relationship, he replies. And now that you're working full-time and done with school, are you looking for a girlfriend? Julie probes. Another good question, Julie. I must compliment her on her pretty earrings later. I think the best things happen when you aren't looking for them, he says. I like that answer. Well, I have a friend who is single, and I'd love to set you up with her. Bad, Julie. No compliments for you. I start to cough and choke on nothing. Damn, I am so obvious. You okay, Dr. Morgan? Max asks. Yes, I'm fine. I'm just going to go get some water. I stand up and head to the break room. Once inside, I lean back against the door and sigh. The thought of Julie setting Max up with her friend shouldn't bother me. He isn't mine, but I can't deny that I wish he were. Ever since our fresh start last week, we have been talking more about work topics, of course, completely professional. Even so, my body has gone haywire. I'm charged and restless and horny. Anytime he's around, I sneak glances at his body, and his wink at me the other day tells me I'm not being as discreet as I should. He totally knows I'm attracted to him. Not only am I attracted to how he looks, I also love how he acts, especially with patients. He is confident and calm, despite his lack of experience. Even when chaos erupts, he remains level-headed and makes the patient feel safe. His height, strength, and masculinity go a long way to take charge and calm everyone down, an important quality in an emergency room. The more I get to know him, the more I'm attracted to him, and there is nothing I can do about it. As I pour a cup of water, the door to the break room opens and Max walks in. He comes over to the cooler and stands next to me. You okay? He asks me again. I smile at him. Yes, Max, I'm fine. I take a sip of water and set it down on the table. I'm not going to go out with her, you know, he tells me. With who? I give him my most innocent look. Julie's friend. I know you were listening. I blush, busted. What gave me away? You stopped typing whenever I was talking, not to mention you were on the same patient's chart for at least 20 minutes. I know it doesn't take you that long to chart your notes on one patient. How do you know that? Maybe it was a long note, or maybe I charted on 5 patients. Because I watch you too, you know, he says quietly, his blue eyes looking straight into mine. This is a dangerous turn in the conversation, but I want to know more. You do? I whisper, searching his face. I'm desperate to know that my attraction to him is not one-sided. I do. Patient charting takes you 5 minutes per patient, tops. You get the cutest wrinkle in your forehead when you're reviewing test results, and you bite your lower lip when you're thinking. I do not. The mention of this makes me bite said lip. You do. He reaches over and touches it. I have this crazy urge to bite his finger, but miraculously, I don't. My breath stutters, and I'm so aware of how close he is standing to me. My lip tingles where he touched it, and I lick my lips. He notices and stares at my mouth. My heartbeat is speeding up, and I step closer to him. His eyes blaze, and he clenches his jaw, studying me. Dr. Morgan. It's a warning and a plea. Monica, I correct. Monica, he swallows. Do you ever think about it? I know exactly what he's talking about.
the way he touched me that night, how good it felt. We shouldn't talk about this. My voice is too breathy to be convincing. Do you feel it? He steps closer to me, his chest rapidly rising and falling with each breath. Tell me you feel it too. We shouldn't, I protest weakly. That isn't what I asked you. He's so close to me now, I can feel his breath on my face. Do you feel what I feel? What do you feel? Like my body comes to life when you walk into the room. My mouth goes dry at his admission. Monica, do you feel it too? Yes, I nod, reluctantly. He lays his hand on the back of my neck, his fingers underneath my ponytail, and his thumb strokes the side of my throat by my pulse. My eyes close at his touch, and I'm on the verge of begging him to touch me more. I know I promised you I wouldn't kiss you again. You did. I need you to let me break that promise, and I need you not to fire me if I do, because I really want to kiss you right now. There it is. I need to tell him we can't, that it's inappropriate for us to do this for so many reasons. We work together, I'm the director of the department, I'm older than him, and we are currently on the clock. He'll back away if I tell him to. I know he will. But he may never try to get this close to me again if I turn him down. And that thought leaves me feeling cold. Then I remember coming on his fingers, in my dream. My body heats back up again. Fire racing through my veins. I think I might die if he doesn't kiss me. Despite my better judgment, I reach up and pull his face down toward me. His mouth slams into mine as he stoops down to wrap his arms around me and lifts me up. I wrap my legs around his hips as he leans me against the wall. Our tongues tangle, our teeth clank, and the sound of our breathing fills up the room. He thrusts his hips forward, and the sensation from his erection rubbing my center makes me moan. The sound of it is foreign to me. It's so needy. He breaks our kiss, leans his forehead against mine, still holding me against the wall, and closes his eyes. What's wrong? I ask him, touching his face, feeling his cheeks. His eyes flutter open at my touch. You feel so good, Monica. I'm going to come in my pants if we keep this up. He admits, chuckling. I want to take my time with you. That sounds amazing. Besides, it's not like we can carry on right here. Anyone could walk in at any moment. Why don't we go out for dinner after work and talk about this? I suggest. He nods, reluctantly putting me down and backing away slowly. He leans down to place a chaste kiss on my lips and takes another step back. His scrub pants do very little to conceal his obvious hard-on, and the sight of it makes me feel a bit lightheaded. I did that to him. He palms his bulge, trying to rearrange himself to make it less obvious, but it's no use. He looks down and blows out a breath. Think anyone will notice? He asks me. For some reason, I find this question hilarious. A snort bubbles out and I slap my hand over my mouth. Then I can't control the laughter. It's like someone has snatched my body and replaced it with a teenager's. He joins in after a beat, and the two of us are doubled over in hysterics. I'm laughing so hard, tears fall down my face. I wipe my eyes and try to pull myself together. What time do you get off work? I ask him. 6 o'clock. Me too. Do you like Italian food? Love it, he replies. Meet me at Piazza. Do you know where that is? No, I just moved to this side of town, so I haven't come across it yet. I give him directions, and we plan to meet up after work. Chapter 5. You have to do this. Monica. As I walk to the restaurant, I call my best friend from high school, Quinn. She was my best friend during my wild times, and she was also my best friend after my mom died. We don't talk often these days, and that is completely my fault, but when I'm in need of honest advice, I know I can count on her.
Well, if it isn't Dr. Morgan, she answers. Hey, Quinn. What's up, Chica? I need you to talk me out of a really bad decision, I tell her. That just makes me want to talk you into it. Explain. I give her the short version of what's happening with Max. I can't believe you didn't call me to go out with you to the club, you bitch. Focus, Quinn. I'm considering having an affair, a fling, sex. I'm considering having sex with a nurse in my department, the department I'm in charge of, and he's 7 years my junior. This is a terrible idea. Tell me I need to go in there and explain to him that I had a momentary lapse in sanity earlier, and we need to remain professional co-workers. Question. Is he hot? This is what she's basing her decision off of. So hot, I answer. Does he make your heart race? He makes it soar, I admit. And you want him? Yes, I whisper. One more thing. Would your mom like him? Or your dad? I consider this. My mom would love him. My dad, not so much. He would disapprove of me dating beneath my class. Mom would love him. Dad would hate him. Then it's decided. You have to do this. I have to? I smile. Yes! When was the last time you had a young, virile man who couldn't keep his hands off of you? Better yet, when was the last time you had a man-induced orgasm? Actually, it was with Max. I'm not sure why, but I leave that minor detail out. If you don't know, then it's been too long. Live a little, Monica. Let your hair down, climb up on your Mr. Blue Eyes, and have some orgasms. Don't let a little thing like work get in the way of having some fun. What's the worst that could happen? Well, I could lose my job. Really? Is it against hospital policy to date a coworker? She asks. I'd have to dig out the policy book to know if there's an actual rule, but it would definitely be inappropriate. I don't want to give the board of directors a reason to question my ability to make decisions. You mean to tell me there has never in history been a doctor and a nurse that worked together and fell in love? I sigh. It's usually a male doctor and a female nurse. Are you kidding me right now? So it would be okay if you were the nurse and he was the doctor? You're twisting my words around. Besides, I did not say I'm in love with him. I'm just in lust with him. Perfect. I love lust. My point is, don't be so dramatic and start looking for a new job just yet. You don't have to broadcast that you're sleeping with a coworker to the board of directors. She makes a good point. Of course I wouldn't broadcast it. So, go make some bad decisions. Although I think this is the best idea you've had in a while. You have to tell me everything. I want all the juicy details. I think I will.
Max. Piazza doesn't look like much from the outside. No brightly lit sign or front window displaying the dining room. Just simple block letters above a plain door on a nondescript brick building. Inside, though, I'm hit with an amazing aroma of foods that makes my stomach start to grumble. The small dining room is cozy, with dim lights and candles flickering at every table. The hostess shows me to a booth in the back, and I'm grateful that we are tucked away to have this discussion in private. After ordering two waters, I sit back and think about what I'm doing here. My whole life has been dedicated to taking care of my mom and sisters. Instead of going to school full-time and graduating years ago with all my peers, I had to work to help contribute to my family. I have no regrets, but I can't help but feel like my life has been on hold. Now that I'm done with school and working full-time, I am ready to start living. Seducing the director of my department has never been on my bucket list, but trying to stay away from Monica the past few weeks has proven to be extremely difficult. I can't fight the pull anymore. I want Monica Morgan. Staying away from her and denying my feelings is not working. This afternoon, with her in my arms, it felt
like I could finally breathe. My watch reads 6:30 p.m., and I start to wonder if she has changed her mind. Every time the door opens, a bell jingles, and I look for her. Checking social media does little to distract me, so I decide to catch up with my sisters. We have a group text thread between the three of us, and I add on to it. Ella just graduated from college in the spring and moved to New York City. She works at a graphic design firm, and I'm so damn proud of her. Chloe is in her second year of college, and I worry about her nonstop. I wish they were closer to me. Me. How are my beautiful sisters? Anyone around? Ella.
Max! How are you?
Chloe.
How's the new job?
Me. It's really good. How's school, see? Chloe.
It's okay.
Me. You staying away from all men? Chloe. Rolls eyes.
Of course, big brother, whatever you say.
Ella.
Yeah, right. I saw that hottie you posted a picture with.
Me. Do I need to come out there and kick some ass? Chloe.
Settle down, Max. He's a really nice guy.
Me. You're in college. Assume no guy is nice. Please be safe. Ella.
Oh, leave her alone. She can be safe and have fun with hot guys.
Me. What about you, Ella? How's NYC? Ella.
It's amazing. When are you coming to visit?
Me. Not sure when I can get time off, but I'd love to come up and see you. Chloe.
What are you doing right now?
Me. I think I'm about to get stood up, actually. Ella.
What? Did you meet someone?
Chloe.
Hot nurse?
Me. Hot doctor. Ella.
Huh?
Chloe.
Spill?
Me. We met before we knew we worked together. Now that we work together, it's complicated, but I can't stop thinking about her. Chloe.
Aw, Max has a crush. But how dare she stand you up?
Ella.
Do I need to come down there and kick her ass?
Me. LOL.
Chloe. I've got your back, Ella. We can teach this bitch a lesson.
Me. Easy there, ladies. I like this woman a lot. Chloe.
Well, if she's smart, she'll definitely show up.
Me. Hope so. I'm going to go now. Text me soon, okay? Ella.
Keep us posted.
My sisters always put a smile on my face, but our whole exchange only took up 2 minutes. The longer I wait, the more I'm convinced she's not going to show up. I wouldn't blame her, but I would definitely be disappointed. I wish I had her phone number so I could at least text her to see if she is coming. The bell jingles again, and finally, it's her. Thank God. She stands just inside the door, scanning the room, and I stand and wave to get her attention. Once she sees me, she smiles. That smile. It's radiant, and the sight of it eases my nerves.
Hi,
she greets, stepping close to me.
Sorry I'm late.
I pull her into a hug, my hands itching to touch her. She fits so well against me, despite our height difference. Her head is against my chest, and I lean down, tucking her into me and breathing in her scent. She tries to step back, but I keep holding on, reluctant to let her go. This makes her laugh, and I force myself to step back and sit on my side of the booth. So, I say, unable to stop my smile. The fact that she's here tells me a lot, but I don't know where to start.
So,
she blushes at my stare. Are you hungry?
Starving,
she admits.
My dinner usually consists of a frozen meal, so this is a treat, especially for a Tuesday night.
What do you recommend?
Everything is so good here, you really can't go wrong, she tells me. My favorite is the lasagna.
Lasagna sounds delicious. The server comes over, sets down some bread and dipping oil, and takes our order. We study each other, and once again I'm struck by how beautiful she is. Tonight, her glossy brown hair is loose around her shoulders, instead of up in a ponytail, as it usually is at work.
It reminds me of the first night I met her at Club Bailar. Her almond-shaped eyes are almost feline, and I'm sure she doesn't realize the power they hold. Just around her pupil, her irises are the color of whiskey, fading gradually to a deep green. Her olive skin is smooth, and I want to touch her face again to feel how soft it is. She is free of makeup, and I love that she didn't primp for this dinner. With the light from the candle flickering gently over her face, I don't think I've ever seen a prettier sight. I'm glad you came. I thought you weren't going to show, I admit.
I tried to talk myself out of it, she says.
Why? I'm curious where her head is.
Should I go through the whole list of reasons?
Let's hear it.
Well, we work together. I don't want this to negatively impact either of our jobs, she says, seriously.
Fair point. I don't want it to be a problem at work either. I really like my job.
So can we not broadcast that we're spending time together to our coworkers? She asks.
You want to keep me a secret? My stomach sinks. She hesitates.
I just don't want to be the source of gossip or judgment.
I nod. I understand that. But what about outside of work?
Work is my main concern.
So we can see each other outside of work and not hide? I clarify. I can't be her dirty little secret.
Well, we're here now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I can deal with that. Okay. At work, we'll be strictly co-workers. As long as outside of work, you don't pretend to not know who I am.
I would never do that, she promises.
Does this mean I can't have my wicked way with you in an empty exam room? I tease, thinking of this afternoon in the break room. She coughs and flushes, reaching for her water.
Probably best to refrain. If someone caught us, it would definitely cause gossip and judgment.
I'll do my best, I say. What else is on your list?
Does our age difference bother you?
Our age difference? My eyebrows shoot up. I'm 25. How much older than me are you?
I'm 32.
Monica, that's only 7 years. We're both adults.
Yeah, but...
She trails off. Does it really bother you?
It's just... You're so...
She searches for words and gestures her hand at me.
Attractive.
Attractive? I smile. This is a bad thing? Surely this should go on the list of pros instead of cons.
Yes. You could have any girl you wanted. Someone closer to your age that doesn't work 70 hours a week. Someone prettier than me. Someone less awkward, less boring. I don't know.
She gives up trying to find the right words and covers her face with her hands. Is she serious?
Hey.
I reach for her hands across the table and link our fingers together. Look at me. I stare into her beautiful eyes. In case you didn't notice, I'm quite attracted to you.
You are stunning, Monica.
The fact that you're a hard worker makes you all the more appealing to me. I can't remember the last time I wanted someone as much as I want you. I squeeze her hands. The server approaches the table with our food, so I have to let go of her hands. The smell of the lasagna reminds me how hungry I am. Wow, this looks delicious. We both dig into our food. She moans in appreciation of her first bite, and the sound goes straight to my dick. Are we done talking about why you didn't want to come here tonight? I ask. I want to be done with that part of the conversation. She thinks for a moment.
I don't do this sort of thing, ever. This isn't me. I don't want to give you the wrong impression.
Don't do what? Spend time with a man? She said that same phrase at the club, too, just before she ran away. This isn't me.
Kiss a coworker in the break room.
I've never done that before either, I tell her.
I'm not sure I have time for a relationship, Max. My life is the ER. I work long hours and am on call frequently. I don't know what you want from me exactly. Do you want to date me? Have sex with me?
I laugh. This is so formal and awkward. All I know is that I want to spend more time with you, Monica. I can't deny that I want you in my bed
or your bed, or against a wall. You can call it whatever you want.
Can we take it slow?
She looks vulnerable all of a sudden, and it triggers a feeling of protectiveness. I want to make her feel safe and secure. Of course. She smiles.
Thank you.
I smile back. You're welcome. We chat about work as we finish our dinner, and all too soon our plates are empty. Would you like any dessert? I'm not ready to leave yet. She checks her watch.
I really should get going.
Okay. I leave money on the table and we make our way to the front. As we step outside, the cool air makes her shiver, and I wrap my arm around her shoulder to warm her up. Can we exchange numbers? I hand her my cell and she plugs hers in. I tap out a text to her and hit send. Now you have my number too.
Where are you parked?
She asks. This is me. I point to my bicycle where it's locked to the rack on the sidewalk.
You ride a bicycle?
Keeps me in shape. I pat my flat stomach and she laughs.
You are in excellent shape,
she agrees, scanning her eyes down my body. My cock likes her attention, and I need to keep it in check.
Take it slow.
Where are you parked? I'll walk you to your car.
It's just the next street over. You don't have to walk with me.
Oh, yes, I do. My mom would be horrified if I didn't see you to your car safely. I pull her close to me as we walk down the sidewalk. When can I see you again?
I'm pretty sure you'll see me tomorrow.
I mean, when can I see you outside of work? I specify.
Let's see. I'm still on day shift, so that means I'm off Friday. I could do Thursday night or any time Friday.
Thursday night? The sooner the better.
Okay. Thursday night, she agrees.
We reach her car, and I'm stunned to find she drives a Porsche. Nice car.
Thanks.
I turn to face her. I can't wait until Thursday, I say honestly, not caring if I sound too eager.
Me either. Can I kiss you, Monica?
I never want to take advantage and assume my touch is welcome.
Yes.
I back her up against the car, leaning into her and place a soft, chaste kiss on her forehead, then her cheeks. If I kiss her mouth right now, I'm afraid I won't want to stop, and she asked me to take it slow. So slow it is. She links her fingers behind my neck and laughs up at me. What's so funny? I smile down at her. Her face is pink from the chilly night, her eyes are bright, and she's smiling. She looks so vibrant right now. Don't you like my kisses?
I like your kisses very much, Max.
Good night, Monica.
Good night, Max.
With that, I pull back and open up her car door. Once she climbs inside, I close the door and step back, staying put until she pulls away from the street. Then I make my way back to my bike and just stare at it. She's driving a car that probably cost more than I make in a year, and I'm driving a bicycle. I sigh, feeling a bit inadequate. On my next day off, I'm going to the car dealership to buy a car. But Thursday, I'm seeing Monica. Excitement courses through me as I pedal home, happy about the unexpected turn things took today. This morning we were still skirting around each other, trying to maintain professional boundaries. My dick twitches at the thought of getting very unprofessional with Dr. Monica Morgan.
Chapter 6. It's my blow-up doll. Monica. Dr. Rossetti is working with me today, and I envy the easy way he jokes with the staff. I find myself trying to be serious and professional, so they respect my decisions, but Tony, on the other hand, brings in donuts and plays jokes on everyone. Because of this, the staff members are always polite with me, but they love joking with Tony. I try not to let it bother me. My father always says it's more important to be respected by the people that work on your team than to be liked, but I want them to like me too. Ugh. I feel like a teenager these days. Horny and revved up because of Max, an uncool loner because of my leadership role, and the impossible standards I place on myself. Right now, for example, Tony is in the break room, inflating a blow-up doll, and not just any blow-up doll,
but one that has an erect penis. Julie is laughing her ass off while covering the door to make sure none of the patients can see what's happening, and one of the residents was sent to go find some white lotion or soap that could pass for semen. Apparently, Tony has decided to prank Max today. 2 months ago, I would have broken up this prank party. I mean, sending a resident to find something that can be mistaken for a bodily fluid is not exactly an educational task. I would have promptly told Tony to put the doll away and told everyone to get back to work. Today, however, I kind of want to join in. Tony is assigning duties.
Julie, what name do you think is better, Rod Stiffington or Mike Oxlong?
I think Mike Oxlong this time, Julie says with a giggle.
Perfect. Can you write it on the patient board?
Sure thing.
Devin, did you find any lotion or soap?
Tony asks the resident. Yes, I found some soap in the storage room.
Excellent. Now, can you go get an exam bed with some sheets? Wheel it on in here.
On it. Devin is acting as if he will be graded on this assignment. Tony finishes blowing up the doll and chuckles to himself. How exactly is this going to work? I ask him.
I'm going to put the doll on the bed, cover it up with a sheet, and put the lotion around the tent. Then I'm going to play the sound of a guy masturbating from my phone and send Max in to check on the patient.
You're going to play pornographic audio from your phone? Wow, that's taking it a bit too far.
Quietly, don't worry. It's totally dead right now.
He reminds me. I close my eyes and struggle not to tell him this is a bad idea. Don't be a stick in the mud, Monica. And the name Mike Oxlong won't tip him off? I ask doubtfully.
I could totally say it with a straight face.
What do you want me to do? I ask. Tony's eyebrows rise in surprise.
You want in? I'm shocked.
Why not? I ask. How about if I ask him to check on the patient? He'll never expect it from me.
Excellent.
Devin brings the exam bed to the break room. Then Tony loads up the doll and drapes the sheet over top. The doll's erection tents the sheet, and he pours soap over the crotch, making it look like the sheet is wet with ejaculate. Then he texts Kevin, asking him to keep Max out of the patient room area. Once we get the all clear, we wheel the bed into one of the empty rooms. Tony pulls out his cell and brings up a video of a man masturbating, and sounds of slick skin rubbing, moaning, and groaning fill the room, but not too loud. He tucks the phone under the pillow on the bed. I blush at the sounds and step out of the room, checking the hall. My heart is beating out of my chest at the thought of someone on the board of directors or a patient walking by right now. Tony goes to sit at the nurse's station and pages Max, the standard way to let a nurse know they have a patient if they aren't within earshot. I clear my throat, square my shoulders, and put my game face on. Seated next to Tony, I pull up my last patient's chart, scrolling through my notes to look busy. Max and Kevin stroll down the hall and stop in front of us.
What do we have?
Kevin asks us nonchalantly. I'm not sure on the details. Max, can you triage for us? I look at Max.
Of course, Dr. Morgan.
He heads over to the room and knocks on the wall next to the curtain.
Mr. Oxlong?
He reads from the patient board.
I'm Max, one of the nurses. Can I come in?
He pulls the curtain aside and sticks his head in. Then he shuts it quickly and steps back, looking over at us. We all divert our attention, trying hard not to look in his direction or laugh. Tony snorts quietly, and I almost start laughing. Almost. Above the monitor, I can see Max lean his head toward the curtain and try to figure out if the patient is really masturbating. He looks back at us and scratches the back of his neck.
Mr. Oxlong? Mike?
Max knocks again.
Can I come in?
After he doesn't get a response, he opens the curtain and peeks his head in the door. He shuts it quickly and comes back over to the counter, blowing out a breath.
What's going on, Max?
I am so proud of my straight face. He hesitates, looking at me and Tony.
What's the matter?
Kevin asks.
I think he needs a minute, Max says. What do you mean? I ask. Well, he hedges, not wanting to say it. I think he looks up at me, at a loss for words.
Is he hurt? Bleeding? I didn't see him come in. I should get an award for this performance.
No, nothing like that. Max swallows, trying to be tactful.
Do you need me to go check on him? I stand up.
No, Dr. Morgan, I don't think that's a good idea.
Max steps in front of me to block my way to the door.
Max, I assure you, I've seen it all. My voice is so professional, haughty, even. Well, I don't doubt that, but this patient is masturbating in there.
He says under his breath.
I widen my eyes, feigning surprise.
What?
You're sure?
He nods.
What do you want me to do? Give him a minute or tell him to stop?
I look to the room, then look back up to Max. We have completely fooled him, and he's clearly nervous about not handling this the right way.
We can't just leave him to finish masturbating in there. I think you should tell him to stop. This is inappropriate.
I cross my arms.
Okay, here I go.
He heads back down to the room and stops in front of the room.
Mike, it's me, Max again, he announces. I'm coming in the room, okay, sir?